Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I'm Deeksha Saxena, and today we will be discussing the escalating conflict in West Asia and its global implications. We have with us former Ambassador Anil Trigunayath. The United States and Israel launched a joint military operation against Iran on Friday, that is the 27th of February. And in this operation, the strikes have been targeted against the key Iranian military sites. Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, Iran's Chief of Army Staff and Defense Minister were killed in an airstrike targeting a meeting of the country's Defense Council, as reported by the Iranian state television. In a response to the attack, Iran has launched attacks across West Asia. Iranian strikes have been reported in Dubai, Doha, Bahrain and Kuwait, places which have U.S. military bases or that are allied to the U.S. military bases. So tensions have soared. To discuss more on this, we are now joined by former Ambassador Anil Trigunayath. Ambassador Trigunayath, welcome to Akashvani News.
Thank you so much.
Ambassador Trigunayath, can you give a brief background of how the incidents have unfolded and how quickly has the situation escalated and reached at a point where it is today? The entire region is stressed.
This mad syndrome between Iran, Israel and the United States has been panning out since 1979. When the Islamic Revolution took place, Ayatollah Khamenei came to power. And he was succeeded later by Ayatollah Khamenei, who has been eliminated by the Americans and Israelis on last Saturday. This is a war between the two countries. One is a nuclear aspirant. The other has been a nuclear power. And Iran is a signatory to the NPT, Non-Proliferation Treaty, whereas Israel is not. And this has been a power balance situation in which the American foreign policy has only been directed to somehow provide the security and hegemony, some kind of superiority to Israel in Middle East. So that is the main foreign policy of the United States. The current regime of Netanyahu, which has been fighting covertly, and the Iranians have been fighting covertly and are trying to undermine Israel, both of them, has been going on for decades now. There have been covert operations, but there was an implicit understanding with the United States thinking that it will not allow Israel to attack Iran directly. And therefore, the discussions on the nuclear issues were conducted. The nuclear deal was signed in 2015 by President Obama, which was subsequently revoked by President Trump, who wanted to have another kind of a deal, which would be far more exacting. But in his second term, President Trump also wanted to add, and you know, we have seen that earlier it was about non-possession of nuclear weapons. There was a problem about non-possession of the enriched material, right to enrich, which is provided in the NPT itself under the Treaty for Civil Nuclear Purposes. Iran has been continuously telling, though nobody believed it, that Iran does not want nuclear weapons. At one time, there was a fatwa issued, including by Khamenei himself, that Iran will not have the nuclear weapons. Despite that, the Israelis continued to feel the threat of Iran, because both of them are quite powerful in that sense, especially militarily and ideologically. That is the problem in both the countries. There was some kind of a rapprochement between another Sunni rival, that is Saudi Arabia and other Sunni countries, and Iran. With the help of Oman, Iraq and China, the Israelis started feeling a bit threatened in that. And they thought that ever since President Trump has gone out of the deal, the Iranians were free to enrich uranium to the tune of about 60 to 90%, which was weapon-grade material. And therefore, this must be either decimated or destroyed. So that's something that we had seen happening all the time. Now, in this situation, President Trump, second time, in June, we had a war between, direct war, first time, between Iran and Israel. Israel attacked Iran, then retaliated. There was a 12-day war. The Americans came in with their B-52 bombers and they attacked Iranian nuclear sites. And finally, Iran attacked Al Udeid base in Kuwait, which is the largest air base of the Americans in the Gulf. And therefore, this war was ended at the time. And six rounds of talks had taken place. When they were about to reach some conclusion, immediately this war took place. And thereafter, 8 months have passed by. Once again, after much discussions and much public statements to the contrary, US and Iran started talking about the nuclear. While at the same time, President Trump has started building his naval assets and the army and everything in the Gulf, as well as getting it into the Mediterranean. which was very evident that the United States is going to strike. When it will strike was something that was a surprise element, because just 2 days ago, the Oman's foreign minister, after the third round of talks, mentioned that Iran had agreed to release any pursuit for enriched uranium, for the stockpiles of uranium, and broadly had agreed to many things. So therefore, they were nearing some kind of an agreement. But in the meantime, Israel, which is of course not very much on board with this, it thought that if deal is signed, that means the regime remains intact. And if the regime remains intact, then the threat perception is a matter of time that the Iran would acquire nuclear weapon, which will provide a parity and a deterrence to the Israelis. And therefore, regime change agenda, which is that of United States and Israel combined, was carried out on 28th. The intelligence was very clear, and the strong intelligence that both US and Israel have, they jointly operated and taken out when the Defense Council, as you mentioned, was meeting, and Ayatollah Khamenei and several other senior people were eliminated. And thereafter, many other strikes have taken place. And now Iran has decided to take out as much as they can all the US assets.
Your answer brings me to my next question, and I want to speak to you. Also mentioned that they are now completely hitting out on all the bases of US. How is it going to get resolved, or is it going to get more complicated and stressful in the days to come?
In the meantime, the IRGC, which is the main body that controls the security output essentially, or runs the system and directly reported to the Ayatollah, had worked out on a system whereby they have diffused centrality. Means most of their commanders have been given individual charge. They know what is to be done, and there are 31 of them have been divided into, and they are all operating on their own. They know what the targets are, and they're continuing to hit civilian infrastructure. It is fine as long as you think you are targeting the United States, but they are located on the territory of other sovereign states. You mentioned about Qatar, UAE, Bahrain, or even Oman, which has been mediating in the Saudi Arabia for that matter. So all these places, apart from Israel and the US assets, the Iranians have been hitting. We have seen that there was some kind of a rapprochement going on. And for a long time, the Iran's neighbors have been prevailing upon President Trump not to attack Iran, because they will be directly in the line of fire, as Iran has been maintaining that anybody hosting the American bases, they are legitimate targets for them, precisely going after them. Whether how much damage is being done, only later assessments will tell you, because there's a lot of gray zone warfare or disinformation campaigns go on for all sides. And therefore, you can't really judge who is hit, how many, and what there. These things come much later. At the same time, now, this is a situation which is leading to a very different complexity. While the Iran was being co-opted somehow as being a part of the Iranian or Persian security architecture, now the Arab Gulf countries have realized that they can't trust Iran because it is hitting them. They are also hitting them. So that's also bringing them together to work on their own security architecture. And that adds to a greater complexity in the situation.
In fact, here I would like to bring the perspective of India, and Prime Minister Narendra Modi yesterday posted on the social media platform, and he said that he spoke to the president of UAE, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, and condemned the attacks on UAE. Prime Minister also posted that he spoke to Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and expressed concerns over the recent developments. In a joint press conference with the Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, Prime Minister emphasized that India supports resolution of all disputes through dialogue and diplomacy. Let's first listen to what Prime Minister had to say.
पश्चिम एशिया की वर्तमान स्थिति हमारे लिए गहरी चिंता का विषय है। भारत डायलॉग और डिप्लोमेसी के माध्यम से सभी विवादों का समाधान का समर्थन करता है। इस क्षेत्र में मौजूद सभी भारतीय नागरिकों की सुरक्षा के लिए हम सभी देशों के साथ मिलकर काम करते रहेंगे।
Ambassador Trigonayat, yesterday we had a meeting of the Cabinet Committee on Security in New Delhi, which was chaired by the Prime Minister. How is India assessing the situation?
India is concerned, and rightly so, because we have very critical interests in the region. The most important four E's. One is the energy security. We import about 70-80% of our oil and gas from the region. Then the economic engagement. We have thousands of Indian companies, billions of dollars. Both sides have been invested in each other. Thirdly is the ease of navigation. And now we are seeing the choke points in the Strait of Hormuz as well as in the Red Sea. The most important thing for India is the presence and safety and security of its 10 million people who are there working in the Gulf countries and the whole of West Asia. So if the war escalates, they will have problems to evacuate 10 million people. And I have myself been associated with many evacuations, and I can tell you it's not an easy task. It takes time, especially when airspaces are closed, especially when there is a naval blockades are taking place. So therefore, that meeting committee, but India will try its best to safeguard. That's the reason Dr. Jaishankar has spoken to all his counterparts in the region, as well as with the Iranian and the Israeli counterparts, asking them to tone down, to de-escalate and resort to the dialogue and diplomacy. Today, that was with the UAE president condoling the deaths and the kind of things that have happened. And secondly, with the Israeli prime minister once again telling him to stop the war. But that is something that we find is not bearing much fruit, because now Iranians are on the offensive themselves, because they are in a corner. And when they are hit in a corner, they would definitely use whatever they have at their disposal to inflict the maximum damage on their enemy. So the situation is getting worse by the day. And therefore, for India, currently, it remains very, very delicate. And that's the reason that India has always preferred and propagated dialogue, diplomacy and peace in the region. It has always prevailed upon countries to not resort to any conflicts.
You also spoke about the Strait of Hormuz, and I would also like you to explain the current situation at the Strait of Hormuz. What will be the impact if the Strait of Hormuz remains choked?
We have seen that the 150 oil tankers and ships anchored there because of the way the danger that is prevailing there. One of the oil tankers has been sunk because of the strikes. The Americans have said that they want to sink the Iranian Navy, fully destroy it. And therefore, the Iranians are also fighting on that, which means that the whole of sea lanes of communication and this narrow Strait of Hormuz, which is controlled mainly by the Iranians. And of course, on the other side is Oman slightly and UAE. So that is causing a major problem, because that will disrupt the supply chains. If it goes beyond, let's say, a week or 10 days, and already the oil prices are increasing because of the supply fears, and that will have a direct impact on the economic conditions, on the inflation, on energy security, on your industry, and will have a ripple impact. So that obviously will have a bigger impact. Hence, at the moment, I think India has enough storage and reserves to meet any contingency and diversifying its purchases. We are already buying oil from 41 countries. But ironically, look at this. The Americans had been pushing us not to buy from Russia, which was a safe oil and cheaper for us. We tried to go back to the Saudis, increased supplies from there, and now that's also stuck. Now we'll have to see how it plays out eventually, because if the war escalates, obviously all these things will be impacted. At the moment, officially, Iran has not closed the Strait of Hormuz. That might happen. And how is that blockade will be broken by the Americans and others remains to be seen.
Also, Ambassador Trigunayath, we spoke to economic analyst Shishir Sinha to know the impact of the current ongoing conflict in West Asia and what impact will it have on the economy. So let's first listen to his words.
At this moment, when the situations are so evolving, the situation are so, changing rapidly, the market is in the confusing state and they're not in a situation to understand that what is going to happen next. And that is why we are seeing that most of the global stock market are in the red on, if I talk about today, that is Monday. And the possibility, or rather I would use the word apprehension, is that the market will continue to be in red on Tuesday. The good thing is that market in India will be closed on account of Holi on Tuesday. But when it will open on Wednesday, we may see fresh round of selling. And that selling will be more in the panic in the nature. So at this moment, we are anticipating that the market will continue to be in a panic mode. There will be more and more selling. But at the same time, we can also expect some kind of buying, because every dip is giving an opportunity. And today, that means on Monday, we saw a situation during the last 1 hour of the trading when the market recovered. Of course, that recovery was not enough to close the day in green. Both the indices ended in red. So every dip is giving an opportunity, but how much that opportunity can be exploited by the investors, it's very difficult to say, because the situations are very, very fluid and very, very uncertain.
Ambassador Trigunayath, you gave a very deep insight into the ongoing conflict in the West Asia and its global implications. Thank you so much for sparing your valuable time and joining us for Spotlight tonight.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, you can listen to this program on our mobile app News on AIR and on our YouTube channel News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.